Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Yes, and welcome back, everybody, once again to another great episode of Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 18 for October the 15th, 2013. Hey, if you haven't done so already, please check out my website at www.tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and you can comment on these shows. I'd love to hear some feedback from you folks out there listening. I know we have quite a bit of listeners. I've been following along with the stats, and the stats look really promising. So I think that, you know, we will continue on with the show here and move up, move onward here for all you systems admins out there, or you would-be system admins, the office techie, as it will. You can also leave me voicemail. If you have a question, call in. There's no stupid questions, folks. You know, call in, leave a voice message, and I will get that up on the air on the next show. That number is 724-701-0911. Or simply email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. So this show, after doing some work yesterday with my consulting business, this show we're going to be talking about the trenches. Now, there's a lot of shows out there that says, hey, we're going to bring you some topics from the trenches. But I thought, this is so important, and this is something that you need to worry about, that I thought I'm going to bring this along for you and to share this with you. Now, most of you know from my topics already that I do work in the education field by day, and I am a network and computer consultant by night, along also with doing all these different podcasts that I work on, these different shows. But these are the enjoyment part. This is the part where I get to sit down and share with you our experiences and maybe help you out so you're not looking at the same stuff all the time, you know, that we seem to be working on. So this show will be about my most recent visit with my client and what we are currently working on at that client's facility. Now, here's the way this actually played out. My client actually called me up and said, look, Jack, would you mind writing some security policies for our office? And I said, well, you know, that would be fine. They gave me some sample policies. I sat down, started looking them over, and I said, you know, I'm going to take this job. I'm not usually one to do technical writing or stuff like that. That's not really my cup of tea. But I thought security is my cup of tea. You know, I know network security probably not as well as a security administrator would, but pretty well from what I've been doing for all my life now. And I said, I'm going to take this task and actually write these policies. Now, what we're dealing with is what many medical facilities are dealing with across the nation, and they've been dealing with it since, oh, I guess early 2008, maybe we started to hear about it when I was in the medical field. And I think it was 2000. It might have even been further back than that, actually. No, it was further back than that, actually. It was probably back in the 90s, like 99, maybe. But they started talking about this thing called HIPAA. And it's like the Patient Protection Act, or I don't even know what it all stands for. But anyway, the bottom line is I have to create a security policy because of this HIPAA thing with the federal government, and now these offices are going to start being audited. So if you're in a position and you're working for a medical office anywhere, start to really look around at the security of the computers and the security of the network. That's very, very key. And why I want you to do this, or how I want you to do this, is the following steps that we're going to go over. Now, even if you're not in the medical field dealing with HIPAA, don't run away from this. You need to actually still pay attention to this, because it opened my eyes to many different things that we're not doing in our typical education field that we need to do. Network security, folks, is everybody's issue. All right? It's not just the medical field. It's not just law firms, insurance agents, credit card companies. Security is everybody. It should be on your forefront, if nothing else. It shouldn't be something that you are going to get to and you never seem to quite get there. Security has to be something that you think about every single day. In the education field, it's even worse for us because I always tell everybody we have 1,300 little hackers in our network. Let me just step back there and tell you a story. I went once to a firewall class, and we were learning how to program, the PIX firewall, which now has moved on to the Cisco, to the newer firewalls. PIX is no longer used. So we were learning to program these new firewalls. Well, there happened to be a representative there from a bank, and the bank has a very easy task. The bank said, look, they're worried about hackers getting into their network from the outside world and moving money around or doing things illegally with this money and stuff. I told him, I said, look, that is easy. We have 1,300 hackers, potential hackers, on our network, inside of our network, and they're allowed to join that network every day of the week. And now they're doing it with their own devices. So I said, this is a whole nother world because I would love to just have to worry about keeping people out of my network. I think that's easy. I could program a firewall, the new ASA firewall, so that pretty simply, so they just kind of took that in stride and laughed, but they got the idea, you know what I mean? Because I think keeping people out of your network is easy, but when you put people in your network, and what a lot of this policy I'm going to go over with you tonight is, or today, is these are folks that work in your network, all right? They may not be hackers. They may do something in a very honest way that they feel is not hurting anybody or anything, but in the end, it could lead to very damaging circumstances for you, for the network administrator. And that's what we have to worry about. Because like I said, when I started writing this policy, I said, wow, this is really opening my eyes up to interesting ideas, interesting stuff that I know that happens. And you try to say, well, it'll be all right. You know, it's not all right. So we're going to start going over this policy, and then we'll touch base at the end of this. And I have a couple things at the end we want to discuss. So let's go ahead and just get started over this. This is the policy that I actually wrote. And we're going to go through this. I'm going to read through this a little bit at a time here. So let's get started here. The first thing we did was I typed up general rules, just a general draft of common sense type stuff. Here's the first one. All employees must read, understand, and sign and acknowledge this policy upon or during employment. Because if you just have upon employment, what that signifies to the person working there for the last 2 decades is they don't need to sign it. They're exempt. Nobody's exempt from network security. As an employee, your computer system may be monitored at any time. I think people on networks, I think people in business don't understand that. The computer is owned by the business. If you're the network administrator, the CEO of the company or the company itself as a whole, whatever company that is, owns that computer system. You as the network administrator, and I know we do it, people come to us and say, look, we want you to do a forensics exam on this computer because we think Johnny Jr. was over there and he was doing something he shouldn't be doing. And it's our job to go out and actually do that. It's our job to actually go out and go in there and do the forensic audit and try to find out what Johnny was trying to do. So it is. The computer systems is owned by the company, and you can monitor those anytime. We actually have software now that we're using called Governland. Now, this is a software you can check out. It's Governland. It's Governland. It's about $800, but it's pretty amazing software. We can pop in and out of computer systems whenever we feel like it. We can do stealth mode monitoring, which is we can watch what they're doing. We can record the session. If we have somebody doing something illegally, we can record the session. And we can also take screenshots. So that's really cool. Next. The administrator, which is maybe you, the network administrator, will educate employees at least once a year on confidentiality, integrity, and availability of computer data and any database systems that you may have. So you have to continually educate people each year because you can get new people in, you can get people leaving, people forget, I guess. So that's the basis. Now, if you suspect This isn't talking to an employee. If the employee suspects intrusion or any breach of security, then they should at least privately report that to your network systems administrator. Just, you know, come to you and say, look, I think this happened. I think Bill was putting a backdoor Trojan on the computer, and you might want to check out Bill. And then it would be your job to go out and do that investigative reporting on that particular machine to make sure that's cleaned up. Next, we're going to talk about authorization. No employee, vendor, or anyone shall install any software onto the computer systems. This includes workstations and servers. If something needs to be installed, they have to contact you, the systems administrator, and or have written approval. In our network, we do not allow people to install anything. We do not give administrative rights. So when it goes to install or update or anything goes to happen with these computer systems, they are asked for the administrative password. They don't have that. And we do, a lot of people, it would be so much easier if I could update my Flash player, if I could update Java, if you would just make me an administrator. We tried that before. That does not work. It just doesn't work. And they started getting toolbars on there, viruses, Trojans, you know how that goes. Spyware like crazy. So just make it so no employee or vendor. You don't want an outside vendor walking in your network with a thumb drive and installing something on a, you know, they'll come to you. We have a copier company that we work with. This copier company that we work with actually came to us and said, look, we want to install the drivers on the workstations. So they wanted to, in a sense, help us because they know we're strapped because we have two people for us at 800 workstations or nodes, 700 to 800 workstations or nodes. So we gave them written approval, and we went out and logged into the computers and allowed them to go around and install the software. So that way the people can actually print to the copiers. So next, we are going to talk about inappropriate files. And folks, we have this happen on our network. And this is something I'm trying to take care of and trying to curb on our network and also on this client's computers. I got to deal with this issue. Non-business related files, such as MP3s or any music file. If you just say MP3s, they'll say, well, I got WAV files. Hey, they're cool. No, any MP3s, any music files. Family images is a hard thing for us. And we have one person on our network that actually brings their camera in, plugs in the computer, and downloads all the pictures to that computer. All those pictures are on our computer, and then they upload those to the internet. And then they apparently wipe them out on the computer. You can't bring in like executables, personal documents, or any non-employee related files or non-work files. You can't bring those in. At no time, at any time, should you allow anybody to bring a flash or a thumb drive into your computer systems and plug it into a networked computer. We had trouble with this a couple years ago. We had people bringing their thumb drives in, plugging them into the computer, and what happened was, we started getting some Trojans. We started getting some viruses on those computers. So now we made it so you can't, or you should not, or would not, or could not bring a flash or thumb drive in. It's a good idea, if you want to go one step further, to disable the USB ports. Then they just can't do it. Because you can't be everywhere every minute of every day. But if you disable the USB ports, you're going to be pretty certain that nobody's going to mess with those. Now let's talk about some communications. Now, here's some communications that we need to worry about. The first one we're not really going to go over. It's more of a HIPAA thing. It's talking about emails. So if you're in a medical facility, you're dealing with HIPAA. Anytime a patient would email you, you would have to take and call that person back. Well, first of all, the email itself, you'd print the email out, and you have to enter it or include it with their medical charts. So this is if you're under HIPAA. Employees at no time, no employee of a medical facility is permitted to email a patient a response. Instead, you should have to pick up the phone and call that patient. Folks, no matter, well, if you have your email encrypted, that could be a difference. But most times, email systems out there are non-encrypted sources. And, you know, it gets sent out on the internet. It's kind of a plain file. You can just grab that with some sniffing software. And I mean, very quickly, you can actually take that email and read it. So we don't want that information going out there. Employees are not permitted to send, receive, or view personal email at work. Now, we're guilty of this. I tell people, look, if you want to check your Yahoo Mail or your Hotmail or Outlook.com, you could do that. And, you know, so we are guilty of that happening. We have, as I said, web filters that catch a lot, catches all the malware and spyware and stuff coming into the network, and it squashes that. So we're pretty good there. But the reason employees say, look, you're not allowed to read your personal email is because they don't want you sending attachments to yourself. And you know that could happen. And that's something we don't want to actually happen. So next would be instant messaging. Instant messaging, chat, and peer-to-peer file sharing programs are prohibited. That's very, very much just standard, right? You should not allow that. That should be blocked out. Unless your company uses chat. We do use chat in our business to chat between teachers and staff, but most businesses, it wouldn't even be needed. Now, let's talk a little bit about authentication. Authentication, we're going to talk a little bit about passwords, password policies, and what that entails and how you should set that up. And at the end of this, I got a couple of my in the trenches stories for you that that might make you cringe a little bit, but you probably have people like this on your network. The first thing is screensavers must be password protected. Okay, so if you have a screensaver, when that computer goes off and the screensaver starts up, and when you move the mouse, you have to put a password in. We teach all of our people at work to do the Windows lock if you're using Windows, and that is, you know, the Windows key and L. That's the shortcut that will lock it out. Each account must be set to auto log off to the screensaver after 20 minutes. So, very simply, if they walk away, I think 20 minutes is an awful long time. That's almost a whole lunchtime. I like to set mine to 10. If you go to the bathroom and come back, you could be back before 10 minutes. But you know what? If it goes to screensaver and if they have to put their password in, so be it. That's okay. I would rather make somebody log in one extra time a day than to have my data compromised. That's the way I feel about it. The next thing is only the default Windows screensavers are allowed on the computer. At no time will anybody download and install any other screensavers. Now, why would that be? Well, a lot of times, especially at Christmas time, they have these screensavers that people push out. And people like to install at Christmas time. They're pretty, and they got all the pretty little, you know, candy canes all over your screen and lights and whatever. A lot of times, those are built with back doors in them. So they load them. They look real pretty, da-da-da. And next thing you know, somebody's coming in through the internet right into the computer system, right into your database, and you're compromised. So if you say, look, only the Windows, the approved default Windows screensavers, probably the little, you know, XP, I think it was a little flying flag or something. That's what can be used. Now let's talk a little bit about password policies. Your password policy on your server, and I think we talked about this before. If you go back in the shows, in the past shows, you'll find one that we talk about how to set up security policies on your server. You should make sure you have a policy on that server, and it's under Windows software. And then I think it's under password policy. You'll find it in that area. You want to set this up to make it more difficult to crack. So what we set ours up is to contain one capital letter and at least one number with a minimum of 6 characters. So that could be any way they want to. It could be P1, P1 or F1 hours, like for flowers or I don't know, whatever, but that's the minimum. A capital letter, one number, and then whatever else you want to put in there, minimum of 6. Some people make them put punctuation marks in. That's totally up to you how you want to do that, but mix it up. Don't let people use 1, 2, 3, 4, because people will use 1, 2, 3, 4. People use God, love, sex, you know, all the basic passwords that people use out there. And you want your password to expire at least every 90 days. Some people like to go half of that and say 45. So 45 to 90 days is pretty fair to have your password expire. The server should remember at least the past 3. When I worked on this client server, somebody actually had to set up to remember the past 24 passwords. That is just simply miserable. 24 is a lot of passwords to maintain. And if you're changing them every 45 days, that's even a lot more. That's just too much. All right. Moving on here. So watching your time here, making sure we're okay on the podcast. Next, we're going to talk a little bit about system integrity. Now, listen to this one. This is something that I wrote in here because I am a consultant. I'm not at this business every day. At most, I may be there once every 2 or 3 months. They call me out. I go in. They have a list of stuff they'd like me to fix or look at. And then with that said, I fix it up and I go on. So what I wrote in here was the employees are responsible for updating service packs, antivirus, and vendor patches whenever they are available. So remember now, the employees do not have administrative access to those to be allowed to install those things on their computer. So you have to make sure you set it up so those particular patches and stuff can be updated by the actual user themselves. And the way I like to do that is I usually give permissions to that user for that particular program files and then whatever, program files, antivirus, then they can actually write to that actual file folder, if that makes sense to you. So they can update those certain items. Each machine will run and have installed a current antivirus. How many times have you ever gone out to a machine and for whatever reason, somebody disables their antivirus? That is a no-no. And the way you can stop that is if you buy good antivirus software that's centrally controlled on your server, you control the policy to that antivirus and they can't. The stuff we have now, it's funny because when we're at a workstation, we can't disable it. We have to remote into the server, disable it from the server. The server will then tell the workstation it's disabled and the workstation will disable itself. That's the only way we can disable it if we need it to knock it off for a few minutes. Each machine will run a spyware and adware checker, and it should be set up to update at least bi-weekly on its own. So that means you're probably either going to have the employee that's sitting at the desktop run it, or you're going to have to actually pay for like Malwarebytes Pro, where you can actually set that up to run on its own. And we have successfully set some of the other ones up to run. We've actually found some command line switches that you can build a batch file, and they will kind of run in the background. I'll have to look those up. Maybe we'll bring those to another show 1 week so we can tell you about how to actually do that, to run as a batch file, and it works really well too. You can do that with some of the free stuff out there. Each machine will have a firewall enabled. At no time shall the employee disable the firewall. Again, that should be a policy you set on your server where they can't touch a lot of the control panel settings. They shouldn't be touching that stuff anyway. The network administrator, that's you, that's right, there's stuff in here that we have to do as the network administrator, shall perform a full security policy audit on each workstation in the office at least every 6 months. And this report shall be filed with the office manager to keep on records. The reason you want to do this is when the state comes in, or if anybody comes in to your business and they do an audit, they're going to look and they're going to ask you to see these records to make sure you've done this. All right. Confidentiality. Let's see. I'm going to try to see here what pertains to everybody. All right. So anyway, under confidentiality, the first thing here is another HIPAA rule, but this will work for anybody because I've heard horror stories. And there was recently somebody that this happened to, and I was telling my client about this. It was American Eagle Outfitters, if you remember that story a while back. This says, no data shall be removed from the office on any portable storage device. It is understood that that backups are submitted across the internet, but no data should be removed by any person for a portable storage device. Now, what that's telling you is, and what happened to American Eagle Outfitters a while back, if you remember that story, was somebody hacked their system one time, but there was another time that there was a laptop that was taken by some office manager that for some strange reason had all of the credit card database on that laptop. The laptop was stolen and all their credit card information was compromised. So even if you're in business, even if you're not worried about HIPAA, see, we have to maintain data security, whatever data you work on. If you work for a company, let's say you work for a lawn care and you sell trees and you have this big major client database, I guarantee there's a competitor out there somewhere in the world that would like to have the database you have to contact your customers and sell the trees less than you. So data security is very important to any company out there. You have to worry about this stuff. Next thing, it is required that Microsoft Word documents, really any documents, that you are going to actually see. I'm not really catching this one. It's talking about if you're going to, we were talking about transcriptionists. Transcriptionist for a doctor's office is somebody that listens to the doctor's orders and they type them up. So this is talking about if somebody is sending, let's say you and your company are sending out a business proposal and you're going to send that to your CEO, your boss, you're going to email it to the boss. The required format is whatever format you want to do it in. It doesn't really matter what you type it in, but you have to encrypt it using a program such as WinZip or 7-Zip and use 256-bit AES strong encryption, which means that person on the other side, the CEO, that doctor, whoever, has to have a decryption password to be able to get back into that file. So if that makes any sense for you. Mobile security is a big one. We touched on a little bit about the laptop. Let's talk about a little bit about mobile security. Mobile is not just laptops. Mobile is any movable media. External drives of any kind or size are forbidden. And you need to do this in your business, folks. If you allow people to bring in portable drives, flash drives, and plug them into your network, especially if you have a disgruntled employee and they're leaving, they're taking whatever they can take. So whatever they can get their hands on as file-wise, they're going to dump files, they're going to take files, put them on their drives. We once had a person do that. They took all the plans that they wrote and everything that they were using in education, and they deleted them from the server. So when the next person come in to take over, all those wills had to be recreated. So unless it's approved in advance by you, the network administrator, just don't allow people to plug that stuff into your computers. At no time shall an employee bring in, and this happened before, bring in or attempt to connect a personal wireless access point to your network. What they're trying to do there is trying to make it easy for them to get on their iPhone or whatever and play Pandora through the day or whatever they're trying to do. But what it allows a hole in your network. So if your wireless has a WEP key on it or a WPA key or a WAP, is it WAP? W-A-P, W-P-A, one of those. Anyway, that's not important. If they have security on your network and they plug it in and a car's sitting outside in your parking lot, they now have wireless access right into your network. So make sure you don't get those rogue wireless units out there. Our network, our wireless system is set up to detect rogue access points on our network, and it will notify us with an email and say, hey, look, somebody just plugged this wireless access point in, and it's close to this wireless unit, which helps us because we have a wireless unit about every four classrooms. So we can go out, we can get into those four classrooms and tell you where it was plugged in at, if that happens. Laptops. Now, this is laptops. Again, this is the HIPAA thing under the Medical Act. Laptops should never leave an office or be transported to any hospital or home unless they have prior approval from the systems administrator. In business, you're going to have CEOs. In the education field, we have people that have iPads, laptops. They do travel with those. Now, what I have them do with laptops is anybody that has sensitive student data, because we work with students, if the nurse has medical files, maybe now she never takes them, but let's say if she would, one of our school nurses has medical files, I make those folks encrypt a folder with TrueCrypt, and then they have to put all those files into that folder. And when they want to use them, they have to log into TrueCrypt and they have to open that folder back up. That gives me a little sense of security. If somebody gets a hold of that laptop or something happens to it, our kids' data is not going to be compromised. And I'm not going to have a parent calling me and screaming at me. Or worse yet, have a legal battle. So they must use TrueCrypt. It's very important. Now let's talk just a brief, I got two sentences here on disaster recovery. And then we'll go into a couple of my trenches stories that I have for you, and then we'll be clearing out of here for this podcast. One of the tasks of the office manager is to back up and remove from the office the patient database. Now, remember earlier we said no data will leave the office. This is the only person that I entrust with this. This is the next person that would be closest to the network administrator because this person pays me. So the office manager has to control that office. And they are allowed by me in writing to make backups of that patient database, basically on tapes. So if they get them home, they can't read them anyway without that tape drive. So they're going to take that tape home once every 3 months, at least do a full backup and take that and remove it from the office. Now, the next thing is there should be a backup plan in your office to have off, to have all data offsite. Now, we use Barracuda, and Barracuda's been fairly good. At times, it has its moments when it's not so good. It has its moments when it likes to crap out, but yeah, that happens. But what the bottom line is, you have to get all of your critical information away from your office at least 10 miles. 10 miles away from your office. Now, this should be automatic, but if you do a manual backup, which means you copy all that data, that's what you should take out of the office once every 3 months. That's very important to get that data. Just for a disaster recovery, believe me, we've had to rebuild servers. I can bring a virtual server back up online probably within, I don't know what, 10 minutes, maybe a half hour, because you're not building anything. It's just a virtual server. You know, you rename it, give it the IP address, it's ready to go. And then as long as we have the data, we only back up data to Barracuda. We don't back up the actual servers to Barracuda, which would be nice, but it would cost a lot more money. So we don't do that. So we rebuild the server, then we just pull our data back. Now, let me give you some ideas here that we have from the trenches that we found. And I think you're going to be enlightened by this because you're going to, as soon as you listen to this podcast, if you're on your way to work, the first thing you're going to do is log into your server and you're going to check some of these things. I know you are. Okay, server accounts. In sitting with the office manager, we logged onto the server. I brought up the Active Directory, and we found a lot of employees that are no longer with the firm. They had to be removed from the server. The accounts were active. They weren't deactive. It's one thing, sometimes at the school we have subs or whatever and in and out of the district. So when we know they're out, and let's say they're not coming back for a while, or we don't know if they're coming back, then what we tend to do is we tend to actually take those accounts and we deactivate them. Next is, this will really get you, and this is going to make you cringe a little bit. We found passwords that were set to never expire, ever. I talked to one employee and I said, look, we're going to reset your password. And she told me, my password has been the same for 22 years. She said, I've always had that password for 22 years, and I know what that password is. I could type with my eyes closed. I said, I'm sure you can. But the thing is we have to be able to allow your passwords to expire. You have to be able to use new ones. We also found users. This is a big one, and this happened before at school with students, I think, more than with our staff. And it may be happening in your business. You've got to be careful about this. We actually found users sharing logon information, which I don't give my password to anybody. I mean, if my partner wants to get into my account, he knows he can reset the password, gain access to my account, and I know he can log into it in a second if he'd like to do that. But I don't give my password out. So we made sure that everybody has their own user accounts. And this happens sometimes because they hire new employees, they don't have an account set up yet, and the systems administrator can't get in there soon enough to set that account up. So that's exactly what happened. So they share their information, say, oh, log in as me, Susie, and they log in as Susie. But guess what? When they're logging in as Susie, they get Susie's password. Now, what good is that? So if anything happens on that machine, guess who I go looking for? I go looking for Susie, not the new person. They're fine, even though they might have did it. Now, we also learned that some of the laptops are going home with staff, and we are going to be addressing that very soon. So what's my next steps for this client? The next steps I have to do, now that they have the security policy in their hand, we've taken care of some password issues they were having, we created some new accounts that they badly needed, I would never give a brand new person my account information, especially. You don't know if that person was sent there and hired there to be a spy on your, maybe you have a big drafting firm and they're going to take your drafting plans and give them to the competition. Does anybody remember Slugworth from Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory? Remember, Slugworth wanted some chocolate. So he went to the kids. He said, look, if you bring me an everlasting gobstopper, I'll give you riches. You never know. Anything can happen. So our very next steps that we're going to do here, folks, is I'm going to, first of all, do full security audits on each workstation. This is going to take me a little while, and I'm going to run stuff like my malware bytes, my combo fix. I'm going to get in there and run these programs. I'm going to do full antivirus scans on these computers to make sure that they're sound and they're solid. And then we're going to type up these reports, and I'm going to do a basic report. And maybe when I put that together, I'll actually share it with you on the website here, tipsfromtheserveroom.com. So you have a copy of that, so maybe you can use it. Okay, we'll be having an office meeting. This is something else you have to do. Don't walk into a business if you're a consultant, and I wouldn't do this in our business, and I've been there 10 years, and make these big changes without meeting with the staff and tell them why you're making these changes. You're making these changes to protect, in this case, we're making changes to protect their patient's data, their patient's security. And, you know, when we have medical professionals look at us and examine us, and I used to do that a lot when I was in the medical field, you know, I examined people, they trusted me to examine them, you know, without any prejudice and in the utmost professional manner, and to keep whatever about them private, right? So that's the goal of a medical professional. You have to keep that very private because it's between you and the patient. So you don't want their billing information getting out, their insurance information, or if they have a mole on their back. Nobody needs to know that. That's personal stuff. So we are going to talk to the staff and explain to them why these changes are coming and why security is so important, because everybody just says, oh, Sally's logging on as Jessie. That's fine because, you know, she's a good person. I'm sure she is. But if something happens, we want to make sure that we can drill down into logs and say that Sally did it. Now, the reason that I brought all of this to you basically is very simple. It's something that we all should be doing, all of us, including myself. I went to work and I started to reevaluate what we do. We started digging in our servers. We started digging our email server. We started making sure old members, old clients are gone. You know, get those, purge them out of your system. Because you don't want anybody sending emails on your company name. That could be devastating, especially if you fired them, if they don't work for you anymore. So we all need to have tighter network security. We need to protect the company and our backside. That's so important. So I hope this show actually opened your eyes to some of the items in your network. And I know it opened my eyes, even to some of the obvious stuff. So, folks, I want to thank you once again for joining me here with Tips from the Server Room. It's a great show. It's been working out well. I've been getting a lot of new listeners each week, and spread it around. If you know other systems admins out there or people out there in a role, maybe they're an office manager and they're operating as a systems manager and they got to take care of the server. Maybe they're not, and you think they maybe should learn a little bit. This podcast might help them out a little bit. Also, just remember, if all things being considered and considerate, whatever you want to say there, if you purchase anything from Amazon, go to my website, tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Make sure, folks, I know a lot of you guys are into computers and networks and stuff. Make sure your ad blocker's off, and then you can see the logo, the actual ad itself for Amazon. Use that link, save it as a bookmark, and if you buy anything at all from Amazon, just use my link and buy it going that way. They do give me just like a half a percent back on any of your purchases. So there's a little bit of money that comes back to the show, and it helps me to buy equipment that I might need, or mixers or software, or whatever else it takes. Microphones, which I seem to be into a lot these days. So there you have it. And the last little plug I'm going to give you here, if you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware Virtual Server ESXi 5.2, then please check out my online classes at www.tipsfromtheserverroom.com. You can also find those classes at jackstechcorner.com. Just look for the online class link at the top of the page. These classes are easy to follow. They're self-paced. You watch a video and you take a short quiz, usually 3 to 5 questions. Each course is very low cost, and I've received hundreds of emails back that said, Jack, these courses are very high impact, and it's helped me learn a lot. Some people even claim that it helped them get the job that they were looking for, being a server admin. So they will get you going. It's from A to Z, from install to administer. So the courses work. They're very positive. At the end of the course, I'll email you, or not email you. No, that would be wrong. I'll mail you a certificate. I put these on parchment paper. They're very high quality. Once again, sign up for those classes at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. And remember that Amazon link. Folks, thanks thanks wholeheartedly for listening to the show. You make it very easy for me to produce these shows and bring these to you each week and share some of my information I have to give you, maybe help you out a little bit. The main reason for doing these shows is just to, I kind of always say I like to pay it forward. I want to share my information with you of what I have to give, and maybe you can pay it forward to somebody else you know. And if you're not subscribed to these on iTunes, please click the subscribe button and subscribe to my show. I would really, really appreciate it. And also, I found if you comment and rate these shows, that really helps move me up in the iTunes ratings. We don't make any more money for that, but it makes it easier for people to see it. If you start rating it, more people say, hey, that guy said it's a decent show. Maybe I'll listen to it. And then it gets us more listeners, and that's what we're looking for here for this podcast. So thanks, and I'll be producing another show next Tuesday night. So until then, take care, buddy. Have a great work week, if there's such a thing, and we'll talk to you then. Take care from Tips from the Server Room. Bye-bye now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.